to stand one more time as we sing Colossians chapter 3. Sing. As we sing, no, not rhyme. You don't rhyme to sing. As we read Colossians chapter 3, verses 12 to 17, hear these words. Therefore, as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience. Bear with one another, and if anyone has a complaint against another, forgive each other. Just as the Lord has forgiven you, so also you must forgive. Above all, clothe yourselves with love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you are called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Teach and admonish one another in all wisdom, and with gratitude in your hearts, sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs to God. And whatever you do, in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. I want to start by naming something out loud, because if we don't name it, it perhaps shapes everything else. That thing is that when most people hear the word church, there are certain assumptions that immediately show up. Perhaps a building, service, perhaps a sermon. For some people, church feels like a place you go to learn something. For others, it's a place you go to worship. And still others, church perhaps feels like the place you go to behave a little better. Maybe even some people might say to be boring. Maybe. But today, I'd like to suggest that church might be more than what you or I often think. And to understand why church still matters, especially in a world that moves fast and feels loud and ferocious and is overwhelming, we have to talk about something that affects every single one of us. Whether we realize it or not, is that I and you, we are all continually and always being formed. Today is Epiphany Sunday, when the church remembers often that the Magi, the wise ones, were guided by the star and traveled a long way because they believed the light was something worth following. And what's striking about their story is that before they ever bowed before Jesus, before they ever offered gifts, they in fact were already being shaped. They were shaped by wonder, by attentiveness, by a willingness to seek out something greater than themselves. And in many ways, Epiphany reminds us that formation often begins before any of us fully understand where the journey is leading. We pray with you. Gracious God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be pleasing to you. May you give us the wisdom, the humility, and the courage to fully receive all that you would have for us this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. I've noticed something about myself, and I wonder if I'm the only one in the world. I've noticed that I have this tendency to start my day, to shape my day in a way that is not by prayer, that is not by scripture. I start my day not even often with a conversation with another human being, or even about thoughts about what I hope for today. I have found that there are many days where I start my day by picking up my phone. By looking at it to think, maybe I just got to check what the weather's like today. Or I just need to see, what's on my calendar today? What do I need to get started? just one thing and then I'll put it down. And I wonder if this, I'm the only one that does this. And then I pick up my phone and I start, and 20 minutes later, I'm suddenly in the kitchen. I don't even remember unlocking my phone. I don't remember getting into the kitchen. And my hot drink is now suddenly cold, and the dog has already snatched my breakfast off the counter. And I didn't even realize any of that happened. I wonder if I'm the only one that happens to. We pick it up to look at the weather. Perhaps we read headlines about things we can do nothing about. And then we find ourselves watching perhaps a video that we didn't even know we needed to see in our lives. And a little context before I show this one to you that you may stumble across is this is what happens when you baa at a flock of sheep. And sometimes for some of us it's Facebook, sometimes for some of us it's TikTok, it's videos like that, and it's not necessarily that any of it by itself is bad, that's not what I'm saying, but it's interesting how much time passes. And what's even more, I think, interesting is that how we feel afterward, how I feel afterward. Yes, I might chuckle and I think there's something courageous and brave about joy when things are difficult. But what I think often happens is that after that time that I've spent doing that thing for 20 minutes or 30 minutes and time has vanished, I don't feel any more calm or any more patient or any more loving than when I started. Maybe at times I feel less. The truth is about that is I am simply shaped. And perhaps that's something that I and we need a little more reflection about. That I am being shaped long before I ever stop and ask how I want to live that day. That I am already being formed and molded into something in that moment. And this leads us perhaps to a realization that I think is a little uncomfortable. The question isn't whether we're being formed, because we all are. The question is, what is forming us? Because formation, the shaping of who we are, is always happening. Always. And I think that's exactly what Paul is getting at when we look at Romans 12. We're only going to look at two verses today. And these may be familiar to some of you. I want to read these real quick. Romans 12, two verses, verse 1. Into. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers and sisters, on the basis of God's mercy, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable act of worship. Do not be conformed to this age, but be transformed by the renewing of the mind, so that you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. Romans 12 here is not the beginning of Paul's argument in this letter. It's actually perhaps maybe a turning point more than the beginning, because the first 11 chapters of Romans, Paul is describing what God has already done. Describing that God's already shown mercy and grace and faithfulness, and initiative towards us. And then Paul says, essentially, because of all of that, here's how life begins to take shape. Because of all of this, here's what's going on. He writes, do not be conformed to this age, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. That word, conformed, matters. And when we think about Paul, and we think about the culture and the time period and being written to Rome, you have to see conformed as being pressed into a mold, kind of. Because if, while yes, the Romans would let people practice their various religions, you were still expected to conform to what the Roman Empire wanted of you. And that culture, the Roman Empire, said that power matters and status matters. That you must protect yourself and look out for your own. Don't fall behind. These are parts of that Roman culture that you, they expect you and us to conform to if we lived at that time. So Paul's statement here is really countercultural in a lot of ways. He's saying, don't let the dominant story of your culture decide who you're becoming. Don't let the dominant story of your culture decide who you are becoming. Because that culture, that world, it doesn't need permission to shape you. The truth is, if you just don't do anything, it will shape you. It just does. I wonder if you've ever noticed that when you're around certain people, that you pick up their language. Like, the longer you're around them, you kind of pick up their words inadvertently. I don't know, maybe it's just me, but I've noticed that before. I never said y'all, or all y'all, so I moved to Florida. Up north, it was you guys. So, but Paul contrasts this conformed with this idea of being transformed. And this is an important distinction here. Because you don't need to be, you don't need to choose to be conformed. It just sort of happens. But transformation, on the other hand, is something that is a choice that requires intentional action or habits. This is that Paul talking about the renewing of your mind is intentional choices that you're making to allow that to be the thing that happens. Because what captures my attention, what captures your attention, is eventually what will shape you and me. It shapes our minds. One commentary names this struggle by saying this: not being conformed to this world is a tall order. The world will fight at every stage to convince us to look the other way rather than glimpse the injustice, hatred, oppression, immorality, greed, and violence that surrounds us. It takes transformation, renewal of the mind, to detach ourselves from the world's attempt to occupy us with things that do not matter. Do you hear that phrase? Occupy us with things that do not matter. That's often how formation, conforming happens. Not through obvious evil, not through dramatic rebellion, but often through just simple distraction. And Paul finishes the sentence by saying the goal of this transformation, of the renewal, is so that you and I can discern God's will. To discern the good and acceptable and perfect will of a loving and gracious God. And if God is loving and gracious and has created you and I to be agents of God for God in this world, then it only makes sense that perhaps we would become more loving and gracious ourselves. You see, this process of being transformed is about asking, what does it mean to become more like that? To become more patient, to become more kind, to be humble enough to recognize that I don't have all the answers and neither does anybody in this room. To be willing to let God do something in us. And that transformation shapes vision, and vision shapes our lives. And I think that this is where the church, maybe more than you and I think, because this is where the church, when I say church, I do mean us in this community here, This is where we become essential. Because renewal and transformation rarely happens in isolation. The church, in fact, when we come together, we are rehearsing a different kind of story. We are intentionally slowing down. We are recentering our attention. We are forming habits and practices over time. There's a rhythm that we follow. You know what's coming on Christmas Eve. You know on Epiphany we're probably talking about the Magi and wise men. You know that we're going to have Lent coming up where we're pausing to reflect on the nature of God's sacrifice for us. To then go to Good Friday where we see the full evidence of God's love before us in a very difficult and challenging way. To Easter where the joyous celebration for new life. We have this rhythm and it centers us. And being here and being a part of it forces us into pausing and listening and being transformed. This is why it matters so much. The church is one of the primary ways that God shapes who you and I, who we together, are becoming. Not because somehow this church replaces your or my personal faith, but because it protects us from being shaped by everything else of lesser importance. I do want to make one last distinction. The world itself is not bad. God created it, and God said it was good. But we, as people, tend to get lost along the way. And this is what we call sin. We get lost because we miss the mark. We head directions that are opposite of God's love and grace, and we lean into power and dominance and control and greed and violence and all these other things that happen. So when I say world, that's what I mean. Because God's creation is good. So I ask you something that I ask myself, especially as we're in 2026 now, which is crazy to think about. What is currently shaping you the most? What's shaping your reactions, your tone, your patience or lack thereof? What's shaping your fears and your hopes? And are those things shaping you into the kind of person that you want to become? Or the kind of person God that He's calling all of us to become? The church offers something rare. We are a place where you and I and every person can be known, not because of their performance, but just for their existence. Where we and I can be challenged, not condemned. Where we can be shaped and not shamed. I am not finished. I don't believe you are finished. We are not a finished people. Instead, we are a people always being formed together. And over the next several weeks, we're going to talk about how the church becomes a place of belonging, of purpose, of service. And on Epiphany, the Magi didn't just bring gold, frankincense, and myrrh. They brought themselves. They brought their attention. They brought their time and their willingness to be changed by that encounter with Jesus. In many ways, I hope that this church and church as a whole invites us to do the same. Keep bringing ourselves before Christ and to trust that Christ and God and the Holy Spirit is in fact shaping you and me and us and all of us. That this is more than just a service, that this is more than just a building, more than just about approximately 45 minutes to an hour. But instead, it's one of the ways that God patiently, faithfully, lovingly shapes you and I and all of us into a people who look more like Jesus each and every day. And the good news is always this. God is not finished yet. God is not finished with you. God is not finished with me. God is not finished with this church or this community. God is not finished yet. The church is one of the primary ways that God shapes who you and I are becoming. You pray with me. Lord God, we thank you for your patience with us, for your faithfulness to us. Thank you for the transformation that you have already done in our lives, even when we didn't notice it. God, this year may you give each of us the courage to be intentional about what forms us. And to believe in and live into your grace and the power of your Spirit that is still at work within us. Lord, help us just pay a little more attention and to just notice the work that you are actively doing around us. In Jesus' name.